So at the 9 o'clock service, we read our readings from this children's Bible. And I realized that the gospel made so much more sense out of it. So I'm going to read it to you. I mean, I've been to seminary and I didn't understand that. So this makes sense to me. So see if it makes sense to you. After Jesus read from the prophet Isaiah at the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth, he told people, "What you have just heard has come true today, right before your eyes and in your ears." Everyone was so impressed with him and the beautiful things he said. Then they started saying, "Wait a minute, isn't that Joseph and Mary's boy? Who does he think he is?" And Jesus said, "I know what you want me to do here. You want me to do the things you've heard that I've done in Capernaum. But just like the prophets, I know I won't be accepted in my hometown. The truth is, there were a lot of things that Elijah could have done in his home country, but God sent him to a different place to do God's work. Just as Elijah went out of Israel to do his best work, God is sending me to the people beyond your borders to do mine." That's when their rage exploded. They didn't want to hear that Jesus was taking the good news outside their little group. So they chased him out of the synagogue, right out of town and up the highest hill, so they could throw him off the cliff. But Jesus was able to make his way through the crowd unharmed and kept on walking. The gospel of the Lord. So when I was looking at images to go on the cover of the bulletin, I found this one. And I don't know how well you can see it, but it's an engraving from an old, I think it's a German Bible. And I thought it was very interesting because the whole, you know, all the townspeople are, you know, they've taken him to the highest cliff in the town and they're going to throw Jesus off. But I thought it was very interesting that to make it look more precarious, there's a little fence right there. I don't know. I just thought that was kind of interesting. So what the heck just happened in this gospel? Jesus was reading a scroll and he was preaching in the temple and everybody was loving him because he was killing it. And then one heckler in the crowd might have said something like, "Hey, this amazing guy can't really be amazing because he's from here. He's Joseph's son. And wasn't Joseph the guy, the carpenter, couldn't read? Who does this Jesus guy think he is?" And then Jesus, not backing down, as we know he was like, he pushed the crowd to an uncomfortable place in which they could either go home or cry or get mad. And they chose to get mad, like really mad, like throw him off a cliff mad. So the people in the synagogue, they turned so quickly on Jesus with a murderous ferocity. In Luke 4:15, Luke assures us that everyone was praising Jesus. Then following his scripture reading from Isaiah, and even his words had been fulfilled right there, right then and there, and everyone spoke well of him even after he said that. And they were amazed at his gracious words. Everybody, all, those are the kind of the words that Luke uses. They're big words to describe. Everybody, all. So how can all these same people, how can they all turn on him? And what leads Jesus to say in verse 24 that no prophet is accepted in his hometown? Now, Jesus, you were just being accepted. Everybody was speaking well of you. Everybody was amazed at your gracious words, and you had them in the palm of your hand until somebody kind of popped that bubble of believability by pointing out that you're just a local yokel. It had to hit some kind of nerve, because Jesus then used his knowledge of his community and his hometown. And he compared the townspeople with the sinful Israel of the olden days who didn't accept the prophets, Elijah and Elisha and Yahweh for that matter, because those prophets took their blessings outside. They didn't give them to the people in their own hometown because they weren't appreciated. The crowd's reaction turned murderous, and that seems a little extreme given the words that Jesus used. But maybe those words had a sting of the truth. Maybe the townspeople knew that Jesus was right. Maybe as they recognized, all the people recognized Jesus, the older version of that kid that used to run around Nazareth without a diaper on, maybe he then was aware of the community's transgressions from his point of view. Like who cheated who and who lied, who was unkind, the people that collected too much interest on a loan, or the people that weren't kind to strangers and the poor. Many of the townsfolk maybe were painfully aware that a mirror was being held up in their faces, and they didn't like the way they looked. As a society, we don't like it when we're called out on things. It's like that for the Old Testament prophets, like we just talked about, you know, pretty much all of them, and for Jesus too. But our modern world isn't much better. It's been a bumpy road for us here in our own country with racism and sexism and women's rights and equality for the disabled and so many other issues. It still is. We always get mad at social leaders when they call us to change. We kick and we scream when somebody asks us to change the way that's always been. You know, I'm from the South. I know that racism and sexism happens everywhere, but growing up in the South, I heard it my whole life, the grumbling, the equal opportunities for people of color, or conversations even for people in my own family that included the word uppity when referring to people of powerful women that were in government. The mirror has been on my hometown of Memphis, Tennessee, ever since Martin Luther King came to support a group of sanitation workers 50 years ago. And we know that there were thousands of people that supported him there. But there were plenty of people that didn't want him there. They didn't want to see themselves in the mirror. They didn't want to see themselves in the light of mercy and justice and love and peace and change. Privilege and bigotry cast a smokescreen to cloud out the truth until an uncomfortable and afraid and angry, inflexible white man moved to a murderous extreme and shot that modern-day prophet of peace. Truth is a hard path, especially when it's covered with stones of self-interest of society. Jesus' mission led him to places that were hard to traverse, places that caused people real discomfort. Holding up a mirror to society rarely goes well. He started his ministry and was almost thrown off a cliff. He continued his ministry and was nailed to a cross because the truth was not easy to hear for powerful people that liked the world just the way they liked it. Truth made a lot of people mad. But then somehow, some way, it caused some people to be empowered with the Spirit and to spread a message of love to the world. Jesus is still doing this work in our world. He's still holding up a mirror to our society, letting us see when we're not enacting God's will for this world, where we're not promoting justice and love and mercy and peace. And the truth is still not easy to hear, that we still discriminate, that we still manipulate and dominate. We have to choose how to react to this truth, to Jesus' mission, to God's vision. Will we get angry and throw the truth off of a cliff? Or will we embrace God's dream in love and in community? We can, with grace, face what we see in our reflection and walk beside those that are just starting their journey of transformation. Because here's the good news. Through Christ, all things are possible, even peace and mercy and justice. Through Christ, our edges are made smooth, our darkness becomes light, our death becomes life, and our errors become truth. Amen.